Welcome to this lecture on multimedia security. It is the first time that I'm offering this lecture, so let's see what works and what doesn't work and so on. But I hope I prepared a nice and interesting program. And of course, if we remain like six or seven people or something like this, then it just means okay, everything is more relaxed. And so I'm giving the lecture. I'm also giving the exercise, so it's sort of like a full stack teaching thing. Yeah, and if I mean seven people is perfect for an exercise. Yeah, it's just nice. And depending on how we go and what your background is and prior knowledge and so on, we can, I mean, I can, it's much easier for me to adapt to you, you know? So okay, so first of all, maybe let's find that out, like if you could quickly tell me what you're studying and in which semester you are or so to
My name is Max.
Okay, your name, that's even better, but you can stay anonymous if you like.
Forget that. I study computer science master's program in the first semester.
Okay.
Okay. I'm studying computational material science. Computational engineering.
Computational engineering.
Mm-hmm. Computer science in second semester.
Master. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Medical
engineering. Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have like five computer scientists and one computational engineer and a medical engineer. Yeah. Okay. Okay, nice. So the reason why I'm asking, it's a little bit unfortunate that I cannot project anything today, but the reason why I'm asking is because multimedia security, actually it's more or less, it's a bunch of applications of, and like the underlying research fields, you would probably say, that's either signal processing or statistics or computer vision. Like it's a little bit from everything, like depending on what specifically you are interested in. Hi, in order to enter, you need to tell me what you are studying and. Computer science. Okay. Then this makes six. So, thank you. So, the set of tools that we will need is broad. And then, of course, let's save the time where we can save the time. So whatever you know already, that's great. We just move ahead a little bit quicker. But if we need to add some background or so, then we will just do it. Yeah. Okay. Good. So, okay, let's start with a couple of organizational remarks. The lecture, okay, you found it. It's on Mondays and it's here. The exercise, I just changed the entry in Univis today. The time is the same. So exercise is on Thursday, 4:15 or so until 17:45. But I changed the room. It's the official number is 0.01142. But that is just the SIP pool in the Huber building. Yeah. Okay, and what I plan to do in that lecture is more or less a selection of topics from multimedia security, but with some imbalance towards one specific subtopic, and that is image forensics. That is just because I do most of my research on image forensics, and therefore I know best about these topics. Yeah, but generally speaking, we have, if we say multimedia security. Is about confidentiality integrity ownership and about establishing identity of or using, depending on which of the words we have, multimedia data. Okay, so all the things like methods and so on that we will look at will fit under one of these terms. And specifically, the plan is to do on. Okay, so lecture one is today. Sorry. So the syllabus. So lecture one is organizational things and some stories. So that is today, sorry, just in case you're confused. Lecture two is a special case because I'm traveling next Monday and my PhD student, Patrick, he just came in, the guy in the blue shirt, he will just show a little bit of his work. Okay, and then I'm there. So we really start. So first of all, we do a little bit of active protection. That's gonna be watermarking, image watermarking. That fits in. If you're curious, that would be ownership to support ownership claims. And in lecture four, we would look into something that uses watermarks, but it's called fingerprinting. And that is essentially like piracy, some piracy, okay, let's say protection, thank you. Okay, so that would be like ownership issues. This like fingerprinting is specifically against a number of colluders. And fifth lecture, the fifth one doesn't really fit in the overall string, but I thought it's a nice topic that like it's a fun topic that we can that would be nice to talk about a little bit. But it's a little bit outside of the other topics, and that is signal processing in the encrypted domain. And maybe we exchange this. So maybe we get a visitor from Naples. So maybe exchanged with a presentation by Annalisa Verdoliva. She's a image forensics person at the University of Naples, and she's probably coming in November. We will see. So the like plans aren't fixed yet. All right. Then sixth, gonna talk about steganography. Then I'm running out of space. So steganography is about covert communication. So you could probably put it under confidentiality. Seven are biometric cues. That is about establishing identity. And eight would be something like biometric cues continued, like counter spoofing measures. There's a fun application that I really would like to share with you. It's called liveliness detection. With V or with S? I have no idea. Hold on. Liveliness detection. Probably with S, right? Liveliness. Liveliness. Oh, okay, please look it up. Okay. So that would be about establishing identity. And the rest of the lecture is so the second half essentially. Yeah, sorry.
Can you please repeat steganography?
Oh, steganography. That is steganography. Sorry, that is a covert communication. So you would like to. And that actually, it's a very deep topic. You could talk about it for a year or so, but we just, well, okay, 1 hour hopefully suffices. So the goal is to. Have like you have two persons, like typically they are called Alice and Bob in these security settings. So Alice and Bob would like to talk to each other, but it's forbidden to talk, like in a prison or something. People shouldn't talk. So they need a way to communicate without the ward knowing that they are talking. No? Now What are the possibilities? So either you talk in a way that the ward cannot wiretap because it just doesn't monitor that channel. Okay, but that's boring. So let's assume the ward is monitoring all channels. Yeah. So then you need a way to funnel your message somehow through an observed channel. While being, from a statistical perspective, being undetectable from just random noise, yeah, such that the ward cannot tell, oh, is this just a noise that is normal in my channel, or are they actually talking right now? Mm-hmm. So that is steganography. It's really like this whole list. It's a list of fun topics. Seriously, they can become very complicated, but I'm just, you know, like I'm sort of, it's more like a survey of on things here. Yeah. I mean, if we talk 1 hour about steganography, there's only so and so deep that we can dive here. Yeah. okay. And then eight. So from eight on, it's all about, integrity with one specific integrity topic that, is called power network fingerprinting. For example, if you have a video camera attached to the power grid, and you also like embed in the camera like the time and maybe GPS coordinates or something of the recording, in order to authenticate the video stream, you can actually look at fluctuations, like characteristic fluctuations in the power network. It's really nice. Because it's not the case that all over the world or all over Europe or so, all like the power networks are all perfectly synchronized. No? In fact, they vary a little bit. And these variations are also monitored by the power plant companies or so, because by the grid operators, because they need to maintain a continuous service. Yeah. So you can, like at a later point in time, sort of match the power signature of a particular region to some recordings, for example, that you did with a multimedia device. That's also, I'm.
You mean the power factor?
Sorry?
You mean the power factor?
So essentially the frequency in the power grid varies a little bit. Not much, but the grid operators are constantly adjusting the frequency to keep it in a certain range, yeah, to keep the grid stable. But whenever a power supplier joins or leaves the grid, and you know, like for example with these renewable energies, that's the case all the time, then the network frequency changes a little bit, and that essentially provides a signature that can, in devices that are sensitive to variations in the frequency, can be read out afterwards. And then you can say like, ah, yeah, okay. So that's the signature from that region in Europe at that time. So it's okay, for example, no? So I believe that this video was captured there, no? Something like that. And yeah, and then 9 to 15 will be about image forensics. So what I'm working on, and that is essentially methods that circle around the question, is an image authentic? So is an image pristine? So this means not manipulated. And from a certain source. I mean, the power grid thing already goes in the source direction, but now source, we mean like a specific camera, for example. Yeah. Okay. And I will present in these 6 lectures a couple of different methods from that field. So that is more or less the plan. So we have 15 lectures. These are 15 items. But we can change it anytime. So it's not, I mean, I sort of promise to do something like this in Univis, of course, no? But we can, I mean, I did not put like which percentage we do what or so. So we can adapt this also based on your interests or so, if you like. Okay. In So there's a little bit, yeah, as I said, a little bit of signal processing, a little bit of statistics and so on that is used or drawn from in these methods typically. And what I would, what I'm wondering is what your like prior exposure to that is. Like, is it like interest, questions that are interesting to me is like, okay, did you attend a lecture either, for example, in electrical engineering on signal processing or here in computer science, like the introduction to pattern recognition or something like this? Sorry?
We just came from that lecture.
Oh, you're currently attending that lecture? Interesting. So it's, but it's a, it's, isn't it read in the bachelor's program?
No, I think they have moved it. Or is it like, I think they have...
It's maybe pattern recognition.
Deluxe.
Sorry?
They have two lectures, pattern recognition and pattern recognition deluxe. So for masters, we are doing...
Oh, pattern recognition. Yeah, that's the master's lecture. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking about introduction to pattern recognition.
No,
that's a bit...
Yeah, no, not that one. Pattern recognition, only PR.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Or this, they call it PR deluxe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's with exercises, the deluxe thing, I guess. Yeah, okay. Okay, so we are out of deluxe. It's, this is only with exercises. There's no option without. Okay, okay. So maybe if you can say something quickly on that, probably how's it in the computer science program, isn't there, aren't there like numerical algorithms or something like this in something from the system simulation people? You certainly know what a Fourier transform is, right? Okay, good. So we have that. What else? Maybe someone who actually attended a couple of classes at the pattern recognition lab can say like what was known already. From the normal computer science curriculum or nothing. I mean, nothing is also an answer, of course, no? Reply. Okay, who attended a signal processing lecture in electrical engineering department? Okay, no one. So that was a long shot. Oh, you did. Okay. And pattern recognition related lecture, what did you do? Pattern recognition. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ah, yeah, okay. And yeah, you did, okay. Right, yeah. You... Ah, sorry. What was, yeah.
I wanted to ask this, I mean, I don't know about this course, is it 5 credits or 7.5?
This is 5, yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, 5 ECTS. We will have some programming exercises in this zip pool. Yeah, so that's the. Well, I would go for C++ actually, but you can also do R or so. But I think it's always a good exercise to do C++, sort of make sure that you are working on the actual computer. and you don't need, actually I planned to show this to you, but I cannot right now. So I put on the Univis page on the exercises, I put a note on this. So you don't need to know anything fancy in C++ or so. Yeah? It's more like, let's just link to OpenCV such that we have a couple of data structures and don't do like everything by hand, no? So linking to OpenCV offers the opportunity to read an image without any pane associated, to have that image in some grid like data structure, and it's called a matrix. Okay. And then we can do our for loops on that, yeah. And we will not need so much more. No? And then when it comes to implementing a convolution or so, we can either use the C++, the OpenCV infrastructure, or we just write like two more for loops and then we have our convolution. No? So that's, you know, like it's not like some black art or something. No, it's, yeah.
One last question.
Yes, please.
The exam is oral or written?
Well, if it stays in this like order of magnitude of participants, it's certainly going to be oral. Yeah. Right. Sorry, I did not finish the organizational part. Oral exams. Let me check. Actually, I can look through my list what other points I have here. I would like to distribute the material via Studon. So please register there, or please join the class there. Class doesn't exist there yet, so don't no need to check right now, but it's because I did not have permission to create it when I checked like 2 hours ago, sorry. But I will take care that it's created within the next 2 days. Yeah, okay. And then if you check like the computer science department and then computer science lab one, so these IT security infrastructures, and there will be this multimedia security group, and just join, yeah? And I'll upload materials there. And by joining, I will not send you emails all the time or so. But if, you know, something happens for some reason, yeah, like I have to cancel something at short notice or so, then I do have the possibility to send you an email. And that is actually very soothing for me. Okay. So, yeah. So generally, the way I would proceed in this class is I put something to read in Studon prior to the lecture. Yeah, and it would be great if you looked at it, because then we can actually discuss things. Yeah, or if you like, we can discuss things, or if you have trouble understanding something, I can explain it to you. But I will not, you know, I will not ask everyone like, oh, did you read this page of that paper or so? Because that's also kind of stupid. So if you don't, I mean, this is like a free country. You can read it or you can't, yeah? And if you don't, then you just, it's just a missed opportunity, no? But nothing more, no? I mean, I'm not going to fail you because you don't read until Monday. Things, no? Okay, so I put material online, then there will be a lecture on that. And then we will implement something on that. Yeah? So sooner or later, probably you're gonna read it anyways, but if you read it prior to the lecture, then there's more room for like more possibility for discussion. And with the exercises, I think we really have to see how things go. No? How, I mean, I don't think that we need to implement like a prototype to all of these methods or so. There's no need to. If we need more time for individual methods, we just take more time and just see how it goes. on the other hand, well, So doing the exercises is part of the whole thing. Yeah. And I think it's very rewarding to see the actual like real world performance of these methods. I want you to show me your solution or so, like to talk with you about your solution, see what works, what doesn't work or so. Yeah. There's not a crisp boundary, like you need to have 4 solutions out of 5 super correct or so. But I would like to stay in touch with you and like keep updated. Yeah. And unless like the number of participants really skyrockets, then I think that's really manageable. Like we have a manageable group size for that. Okay, and I will not do any lectures with actual content this week and next week. Yeah, so we can use, if you like, we can use this week and or next week to compile some C++ stuff and to compile OpenCV, something like that. Yeah. Or if you like to have it running on your private machine and something's not working or so, and just bring it to the exercises or so. I will be at the exercises this Thursday and next Thursday, but there's not a real, like a specific program that I will propose to you. Yeah. What we can do is sort of build a small program that links to OpenCV, reads an image, filters it somehow, writes it to the hard drive, something like that. Yeah. And then we're good to go to do something more meaningful in the week after that. Yeah. Watermarking, for example. Embed and watermark. Okay. So that is more or less my vision of that lecture. Yeah. If there's a lot of disagreement, we can discuss this. Otherwise, I would say let's just try it like that. Okay. Good. Sorry, I wanted to do that survey. So you attended PR, and you also. You were saying something? No, you did not. Okay. Ah, okay. No, I'm talking about the past. So, okay. And
I just did some basic signal process.
Okay. Well, that's going to be helpful as well. Okay. But there are a couple of people who were not really exposed to these things, right? Am I understanding this correctly?
I have some experience. Image recognition, but not from this university. So
from what university? Was it an elite university or a very cheap university?
Yeah.
Oh no, don't don't say it. And don't say your name. This is all video chat. Okay. Sorry?
Off to a good start.
Okay. Okay. How about you? Okay, well, that's a little bit, no? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about you? You did? Okay, well, so just say something. If weird things pop up, just say something and then, yeah. Okay. Good. I think in terms of organizational remarks, that's all. I plan to show you a little bit of my work, which is complicated without having the Beamer available. But maybe I can just introduce myself in 10 or 15 minutes or so, and then let's call it a day. And next time, hopefully, the projector will work. Okay. So actually, I started to study here computer science 16 years ago. So in 2001, this was like my first day here. And then I, and then in 2007, I sorry, my name is Christian Ries. And my email is just firstname.lastname@fau.de. But actually, I prefer to not receive emails because there are so many people sending emails to me that it sort of escalates. So if we're meeting twice per week anyways, then why don't you just say it in person to me, whatever it is. Okay, good. So in 2007, I joined the pattern recognition lab. So that was where Joachim Hornegger was the head of the lab at that time, and he hired me for a project with a company. The name is Giesecke and Devrient. So this is a company that is based in Munich, and they do all types of security related stuff. And they are one of the few companies in the world which produce and process banknotes. So, and actually they are the market leader in this business. So my task was to work there on, like, they have large machines processing, checking banknotes, whether they should remain in circulation or be replaced. And I was working on processing this sensor data in these machines. The problem was that, my goal, of course, was to pursue a PhD. And the problem is that these security topics are a little bit complicated oftentimes with respect to publications or so. And then, but there was a senior researcher at the pattern recognition lab. Her name was Eli Angelopoulou. And she actually came from the US, and she did her postdoc at GRASP. And that was like 1997 or so. Or around that time. So GRASP is the like general robotics, sensory processing something lab at University of Pennsylvania. So the name GRASP, it's a renowned name in the robotics and computer vision and so on community. And there she, at that time, she met Hani Farid. So she knew that guy, and she knew that he's working on some security related topic which was actually image forensics. So she said, like, yeah, okay, you know, if it doesn't really work to publish on this stuff, why don't you publish on that stuff? No? And this looked like really interesting to me. So I started to read these image forensics papers, and that was like in 2008 or so. And and there was not much out there yet. So it was really like 30 papers or maybe 40 papers or so. So you could read everything. That was really cool. And then I thought about this a little bit more, and I visited Hani, and I don't know. And then it turned out there's a group in Dresden actually doing image forensics. There were three guys, Rainer Böhme. He's now a professor in Innsbruck. Then Matthias Kirchner. He's a professor now in Binghamton, upstate New York. Hani Farid is at Dartmouth College, sorry. That is in New Hampshire, so also at the US East Coast. And the third one was Thomas Glue. Thomas Glue founded a startup together with two or so other guys on security-related topics. But these two guys are still in academia. But none of them is in Dresden anymore. Maybe Thomas. Thomas. Okay. But those two aren't. Okay. And I met them, and so, and then sort of like a network evolved or so. And there's a whole lot of Italian groups. And most notably, from my perspective, like I'm currently working together with Annalisa Verdoliva from Naples, and with Alessandro Piva in Florence. Okay, but that's another story. I did some research on this, and then in 2013, so December 2012, I defended my thesis. So I graduated, and then I was 2 years in Stanford. That was 2013 to 15 as a postdoc. And there I worked on something completely different. It was an X-ray face contrast image processing. Okay, so it's image processing, but apparently it's a very specific like X-ray imaging technique on which it is operated. In order to make this look like a coherent life, you can say, you can use this X-ray face contrast also for security applications, no? Like, for example, luggage inspections or so. But truth is actually that I was at the School of Medicine, so the focus was a little bit different, but okay, these are all applications, so it doesn't really matter, yeah? So it's just image processing, imaging and image processing. Yeah, and since 2015, I'm back here, and 2016, I joined Felix Freiling's lab in November. But of course, there are a lot of connections with the pattern recognition lab still. So I'm also, in the summer, I'm reading pattern analysis, which is one of the master's program lectures of the pattern recognition lab. And I'm also reading the computer vision lecture that is together with Mark Stamminger, but it would also fit very nicely in the program of the pattern recognition lab. So I'm somehow in between things, but particularly since I'm now at the IT security lab, I'm doing more and more security related things again. Okay, so that is sort of my past. And okay, there are I have two PhD students working on image forensics. These are Patrick and Benjamin. I'm also working together with a couple of PhD students on this X-ray phase contrast topic. That is together with the physics department here in Erlangen. And I'm also working together with two other guys who are not related to these two clusters at all, but it's also image processing. No? So that is my sort of background or so. Okay. We can look at pretty pictures another time. Okay. I think that's really all from my side. What are your questions, if there are any? Yes. Yeah, you can choose. You can also switch on the fly. That's a couple of years ago. It somehow turned out I had Latin in school, and then some people tried to impress me with their Latin in their oral exam. But here's the problem. My Latin, actually, it was not so bad, and their Latin was wrong. And then it didn't make a particularly good impression. But German or English is all fine, yeah. I have no idea. No, they are somewhere on, they are linked on a separate server, right? Okay. So there are the video recordings. Okay, so if there are no more questions from your side, so next week, Patrick will show a little bit of his work, and then the week after that, I'm back and we will start to talk about watermarking, okay? Good. Thank you.